according to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, and reading verse 25. Matthew 15, verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. You are doubtless quite familiar with this character in scriptures, and oh, what a mercy that we have such a record that would encourage you and me in our extremities, in our perplexities and anxieties, to realize that here Jesus was teaching this woman, proving her faith, and yet not forgetting her or forsaking her. And so she had a case. And you know how the Lord made various cases upon his people. In other words, he laid something upon their minds that is so heavily laden upon them that they wonder sometimes where the thing's going to end. We know that in the world amongst unbelievers, there are many things that befall them that they try and resolve in and of themselves. And they do not realize and understand that sin is the cause of all the woes upon the face of the earth. But when the Lord so teaches his dear people, oh, he teaches them, doesn't he, in most mysterious and painful ways. In other words, he sanctifies their trials, of which the unbeliever never understands. But when the Lord deals with his dear people, he deals with them as with sons, as many as I love. You see, we cannot escape God's word, which says, of those that he loves and those that he hates. We know that he hates sin and ever will hate sin and cannot condone sin. But he brings his dear people that he's loved with an everlasting love to repentance. He gives them a broken heart by the things that they pass through, so they are enforced to the throne of divine grace. And they're like this woman. You know, she cried unto him. You know, that's real prayer, isn't it? When the Lord so lays an affliction or a trial upon you, whatever that may be, and there are one of the hymns that we're going to sing to close with, bound down with twice, let 10,000 times, oh, let me hear thy call. These hymn writers, as you know, were taught by the Spirit. It may not be suitable language to us always in our case, but we shall have to learn a little, I believe, by experience of the hymn writers, that that's the real religion of God's chosen people. And it won't be, there won't be always a full of praise on your lips and mine. But on the contrary, you'll feel very much cast down and burdened. This poor man cries. And this is where the poor sinner comes, and this poor woman cries for the help that was laid upon one that was mighty to save. And what a mercy. If the Lord has so dealt with you and me as a son or a daughter, so he quickens you into life, so he exercises you with a desire to seek the Lord, to call upon his name, to plead that he would be merciful unto you. Now that publican came up, you know, not like the Pharisee, justifying what he'd given, what he'd done, all his good work. How many poor things in our day are satisfied with the religion of good work? If you search the scriptures, you'll never find where good works can save a sinner. We know that it's right to be kind and tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, we trust, has forgiven us, but is not salvation in works. Salvation is all of free and sovereign grace. And what a mercy this is. And this woman woman, you know, she came out of the out of Cana, out of the same coast where Jesus had been, and the fame of Jesus had grown. Amongst some, that was. Amongst some, not amongst the Pharisees, not amongst the self-satisfied Jews, dear friends, with their religion. But she came because the Lord had put a case on her, a burden on her, that she could not relieve herself from. And so she came and she cried unto him, unto him. What a mercy when your cries and mine are unto him. Praying in secret, we often speak of that, friend. It is praying in secret unto God, that he might reward you openly with answers to your petition. You know, I do value secret prayer, silent prayer, prayer in your closet, prayer going about your daily callings when the when you're brought into some situation where you know there's only one can deliver you, because the Lord gives you faith to believe in his word. And so that faith is a substance in your heart and mind, a substance of things hoped for. There's faith to believe in God. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of those that shall diligently seek him. Now this woman had faith. And that's the gift of God, isn't it? Have mercy on me, O Lord. You see how she honored his name, revered his name. It wasn't you and me, it was thou, Lord, thou, O God, thou, O Lord, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Why? Because here was the trial. My daughter grievously vexed with the devil. And not many seem to acknowledge the devil's work today, but we see it on every hand. Satan going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And also as subtle as that serpent. Oh, the subtlety of the serpent that deceived Eve, and Eve deceived Adam. Oh, the weakness, dear friends, of the flesh. But, you see, he answered her not a word. You know that, some of you. You cry daily, you look to the Lord to send you deliverance. You look to him to make a way for you where there's no way. You cry and shout unto him, and he shuts out your prayer. Well, you know, the Lord is going to prove the sincerity of your heart and mind in prayer. Oh, the Lord proves all things, you know. It won't be just a glib prayer for something you're in need of. It is praying for those blessings God has designed to give. Lord, thou hast laid up this exercise in my soul, that desire in my soul. Thou will come and help me, come and deliver me. And oh, you go on crying and shouting sometimes, and still the Lord, he seems to be silent unto it. He answers you not a word. And you so long for a word, and some of you may have been seeking for a word for many, many years. And still he's silent unto you. And yet you see, on the contrary, before they speak, I shall hear. And while they are yet speaking, I will answer. And all you prove, I believe, both sides of this exercising soul of prayer before the Lord. The Lord sometimes favours you with such a blessing that you haven't felt to really ask for it like you ought to have done, but it is according to the sovereign will of the Lord. And then on these other occasions, when there is so much, as it were, darkness, when you venture to call upon his name. But still there's that faith and exercise of this child of God. He that cometh to me must believe that he is. And whatever the enemy might say, and whatever the scientist might say about God's holy word and trying to undermine all the truths that are recorded therein, yet we have to prove the word of the Lord endure forever. They haven't destroyed all the Bibles. They haven't, as it were, burnt up all the truth, have they? And they never will. And we have to prove often, don't we, how the truth still prevails in the earth, and how we prove that in spite of the Lord seeming to be silent unto you and me, he is still waiting. Oh, God's time is a set time. Your time and mine is always ready for an answer. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cried after us. Even the disciples couldn't read that work that was going on in that woman's heart, and also the desires of Jesus in that set time to favour her. And so you see, how can we can often be mistaken in another's exercises? But through mercy, you see, there was importunity given this woman. She wouldn't take silence for an answer, would she? She had an exercise, and she had an effectual fervency of spirit. And it's all in accordance with the sovereign will of God. And the Lord answered her when they said, send her away. He answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Oh, how this is the blessings of the gospel to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he saw them lost and ruined in the fall, yet loved them notwithstanding all his loving kindness. Oh, how great. And so as the Lord quickens you into life, then she came. You know, she came drawn by the cords of a man and by the bands of his love. There was love in her heart, even she may not have fully realized it, because it was the effects of this love and this living faith and exercise that drew her to come, when she knew that he came to seek the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And no doubt she felt this. And no doubt you'll feel this in your experiences. You feel to be lost. You feel to be in darkness. You feel to be in bondage. You feel to know very much what the wretchedness of man is. Then came she and worshipped him. What a mercy to have been able to worship him in the beauty of holiness. To behold the eyes of the King in his beauty. To behold that land that is very far off. The word declares it. The eye of faith looks to the Lord Jesus Christ as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We come then craving a crumb. Just a word that the Lord might drop into your soul. A little revelation of the beauty of Christ and the suitability of Christ to meet your case and to supply your needs. You see, he opens his hand and supplies the need of every living thing. Now your soul wrought upon by the Spirit, it'll be a living soul. It won't be dead to the truth. It'll be there'll be in your heart a desire for a crumb of mercy, for a real token, for a real evidence of the work of grace begun. And so you come and look to him. You see, look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for beside me there is no Saviour. Oh, what a favour, what a privilege, if your soul has been so exercised to look to the Lord of life and glory alone. No good pouring upon self, is it? Pour not on thyself too long. What are you looking for? Some good in yourself? You see, we have been reading here today, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Oh, how we need then the Lord to create within us that clean heart. There'll be this natural flesh that defileth a man, but this new man of grace, this Spirit of truth that comes down by the blessed Spirit to reveal to poor sinners the things of Jesus. Reveal to you and me the preciousness of the name of Christ, the sweetness of it to suit your case and your eternal soul. Oh, and it's the desire of your soul, as we we read the psalm yesterday to our friend in hospital, we came to those words, "Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation." That's it, was his response. Oh, how sweet. That's it, friend. That's it. You see, what are we to do? Lord, help me. Lord, help me to believe. Lord, help me to look to thee. Help me to trust in thee. Help me to wait upon thee. Help me to serve thee, to follow thee. As that light that lightens my darkness. Salvation, all of his free and sovereign grace. Then came she and worshipped him. He'll be the one that you'll glorify, won't he? He'll be the one that you'll give all the praise and glory that is due unto his name. And you'll bless and praise him that he's not passed you by, but exercise your soul with seeking help that is laid upon him. And so the Lord, you know, still proving her, trying her. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And still in her submissiveness she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." You know, if you could, you come craving a crumb, don't you? From the master's table. A little word from on high. A blessed word that may be read or sung in the experimental language of our hymn book, which are those things that those men that penned, godly men, churchmen, and all how those godly churchmen, you know, were faithful to God and to his word, and they had to live by faith, walk by faith, and yield obedience to his law. You see, it isn't a denomination, is it, that is right before God? It's what's in the heart of a poor sinner. And oh, it's sad to see the way that their national church has departed from those experimental things that the dear top lady could speak of. And also a John Kent, and also Newton and such men that were led by the Spirit. And they had to acknowledge that though he was that high and that lofty God, they bowed before him and they looked to honour him and to serve him and to give him all the praise and glory to unto his name. Then came she. Ah, when you know and feel your lost condition, when you feel that you come like a dead thing, yet desiring to know this life of the Spirit of Christ within you, to set you in that glorious liberty of the gospel, to feel the knowledge of Christ and the felt warming of your cold hearts and the love of Christ in your soul. It'll be with the hymn writer's language again, "Thou, O Christ, art all I want." You know, we have many wants, don't we? But this is when Christ is made the most needful thing to you, to deliver you from your trial, to deliver you from your trying circumstances, and to make that crooked thing straight in your life and that rough place plain, that darkness light before you. And so came she and worshipped him, drawn by the cords of a man, by the bands of his love, and coming with this request. And so exhorted to be careful for nothing in Paul's epistle to the Philippians, to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And your request will be this, as you're exercised in soul, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Now the Lord so exercises us in this, doesn't he, that we come seeking his help. Help me, Lord. Help a poor helpless sinner to believe. Help me to wait upon thee. Help me to live faithfully to thy word. And all this is how we come as a poor preacher to be faithful unto God, to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season. And when you walk by faith and not by sight, you yield obedience to his word, you know you'll find often you're out of season. darkness and you're in bondage, and yet there's something secret still in your heart that's sweetened. That something draws you to come again to the throne of divine grace and seek His help. Lord, I feel utterly helpless. You know, the Lord knows how to bring our little felt wisdom to confusion, doesn't He, in many ways and many things. And oh, we cry and we groan being burdened, do we not? But the Lord is there still to help, a faithful God. And we look to Him continually as we are taught by these things that men live. Hezekiah came there, by these things men live, and in these things is the life of my spirit. When the Lord meets with you, when you feel His nearness, when He comforts your troubled heart, when He whispers unto you, peace be unto you. My peace I leave with you, but Lord, I'm full of turmoil, I know not what to do. Peace be still. Oh, what a mercy when you feel that. Be still and know that I am God. Nothing happens by chance. Nothing shall befall you that shall not be so profitable to your never-dying soul. But you cry out, Lord, all these things are against me. But the Lord, you know, is only trying you, proving your heart to know whether you'll keep His commandments or no. It's becoming more and more dependent upon Him, isn't it, in our lives. Living that life of faith by prayer and casting all your cares upon Him. All your cares upon Him. And seeking that grace that we might walk by faith and not by sight and yield obedience to Him. Lord, shine through the gloom of my doubting, fearing heart and grant that I might be given that importunity in the measure of this woman that comes and worships Him. We don't want worshipping men in the flesh. We don't want to raise men upon a pedestal and worship them, do we? And fear man. It's cease from man. It's looking to Jesus and pleading that He would be mindful of us and merciful to us and save us from our sins. And guide and direct us. Oh, how should we lose our way with such a guide? He said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou should go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Precious word, isn't it? The eye of the Lord upon the righteous. His ear is open unto their cry. The righteous cry. Oh, it's a pathway of prayer, isn't it, for you and me in our trials. And whatever that trial may be, whatever heavy burden may be laid upon your mind today, what a mercy that the Lord knows. It isn't forming pretty words in prayers, is it, as we would refer to it? Some seem to be so able, don't they, in prayer? But you know, is it of the flesh? Learned by familiarity. Not with this woman. And oh, what a mercy we prove it. That our dependence is wholly upon Him. Lord, Lord, help me. Lord, help me, and be merciful unto me, and help me to wait upon Thee for that renewed strength. I'm ready to faint. There seems to be no or very little life in my soul of the Spirit, but still my desires, all my desires are before Thee. All my desires are before Thee. And all that the Lord, who knows your path and mine, might favour you and me with that little ray of hope, that little glimmer of light, that we shall yet praise Him. Now, in the 42nd Psalm, it speaks of this, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within? You see, the psalmist knew what it was to be tempted and tried. He knew what the warfare was with the old man of sin and the new man of grace. But you see, he had to come there feeling his poverty, yet desiring the Lord's help.
Hope thou in God, he said, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. This is the pathway, I believe, of a true believer. He'll find himself to be often in great straits and find that the Lord seems to be silent to him, doesn't give you a word. And you know it's vital to receive a word, don't you? But you see this importunity that proved profitable to this woman in time. That set time to favour her. And so the Lord, as I said earlier, was proving her sincerity and the reality of her exercise. You see, when most we need his helping hand, this friend is always near. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. And when he does answer it, well, it melts your doubting, fearful heart down, doesn't it? Well, it causes you to be softened in your heart. Well, he causes you to be meekened and humbled before him. The thing that he should condescend to meet with you, deliver you, strengthen you, and make a way for you where at one time there seemed to be no way. Well, it softens your heart, doesn't it? He melts you down. And this is the dealing of the Lord with his dear sons. You know he's going to have them humbled before him. And so he says, humble yourselves before Almighty God. And we cannot humble ourselves in and of ourselves, can we? But as he sanctifies the trial, so it brings you to his feet. And no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous but grievous. God's chastening hand upon his sons and daughters. But it's not to destroy them, is it, as we've spoken of recently. But it's in his dear covenant love. And he brings them there with these trials. Cast, he said, on me thy care. 'Tis enough that I am nigh. I will all thy needs supply. I will all thy burdens bear. All for more faith. To trust this God. To trust this blessed Saviour, Jesus, who has promised never to leave nor forsake his dear people, whom once he loves, he never leaves, but loves them to the end. Oh, but you say, my love often waxes cold. We read in the Word, don't we, that the love of many waxes cold. Lord, don't leave me to be amongst those. Though I feel often cold and hard and dead, don't leave me to turn back. Don't leave me to be offended with thy word, but do reveal thy love to me. And do, Lord, come and speak plainly to me, because I feel to be so ignorant and unlearned in these things. Now, this woman hadn't got a mind that she could speak much, but she said, Lord, help me. And what a mercy when this prayer is applied to you and me in our tried circumstances, and realizing no help in self you find. No help in self I find, and yet have sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin, death, and hell. The native treasure of our minds, oh, how the Lord will show this to you and me. So there's no longer any self-help, is there? But dependence upon him. Lord, thou alone canst help me. You get many, and those many sort of give you a gloomy sort of picture of your condition, a gloomy picture of your circumstances, and all the devil seems to stir you up, doesn't he? And you feel there's no hope for you in this trial. You won't ever come out of this one, says Satan. But what a mercy, there's one that is mightier than he. And this man, oh, and yes, he became a man, didn't he? This man that receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Lord, you say, I believe we have to come this way. Lord, you say, do show me thy sins, my sins in the secret light of thy countenance. And oh, do grant, Lord, that I might know at times at least of that real repentance, that broken heart. because you find this, for the most part, you're very carnal and hard-hearted and dwell upon earthly things. You're like that mad Gadarene, aren't you, in nature? We dwell among the tombs, earthly things. But when the Lord so calls you, you know, it's Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Do, Lord, help me to believe. Or do grant that I might seek that nearness to thee and that union and communion with thee, that I might hear thy voice. As this, as Jesus said unto her, woman, great is thy faith. She didn't feel it, did she? But she had it in exercise. There was a proving of her faith, wasn't it? That she wouldn't take silence from the Lord as an answer. She got a case that she could not relieve herself from. And your cases, your afflictions, your trials, your family concerns, church matters, whatever it may be, your soul standing before God. Oh, it brings you here, doesn't it? On your knees, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It's here on my heart, the burden lies. It's here those things that proceed out of the mouth of my heart that defile me. Defiled and unclean. But Lord, thou alone canst help me. Thou alone canst reveal that love to me. Thou alone canst speak the word that I long to hear. Pardon. I have pardoned thy sins. I have blotted thy sins out as a thick cloud, and thy transgressions as a cloud. Return unto me. When the Lord draws you, you know, by that sweet resistless grace, oh, it's a favor, isn't it? A wonderful favor to feel the blessed Spirit working in your heart and mind both the will and do of his good pleasure. Lord, thou art the one thing needful. What has made him needful to you? Why, his teaching, dear friend. The things that you've had to pass through that have caused you to despair and groan and cry to him in your sorrow, in your affliction. But you see, this is the pathway of his chosen people. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. A request, you know. A prayerful, a pressing through the crowds of doubts and fears and unbelief to touch the hem of his garment. In other words, that other woman came, didn't she, with the issue? She said within herself, and this woman, I believe, would have said within herself, Lord, help me, before she came, believing that Jesus only now was her only hope in this day of evil, and is your hope and mine, dear friend. And oh, we'll not leave you or forsake you, as you're given grace to honour him, so he'll honour you. They that despise him shall be lightly esteemed. Oh, Lord, do give me a real hunger for these real crumbs, a word in season that shall be as apples of gold in pictures of silver, a real living token that I can speak by experience of what the Lord has favoured me to receive, a word from heaven, though whatever means he may use. A voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, living that life of faith by prayer, seeking the Lord's presence and his blessing, and assuring your interest in these things that seem to be past finding out in your natural mind, but revealed to you by the Spirit, to hold fast the form of sound words, to seek the knowledge of the truth. For he says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What a mercy. You see, to be delivered from the bondage of your sinful heart. Wretched man that you feel, or woman, or whatever the case might be, You're made to feel vile. You blush and ashamed to lift up your face sometimes, aren't you? For your walk and your conduct, your past sins, I have been and do. But what a mercy. If he should mark your iniquities and mine, where should we stand? Who amongst us should stand if he should mark our iniquities? But there is forgiveness with him that he may be feared. And this woman had this gracious exercise of fear in her heart, not a slavish fear, a filial fear, a desire to do the will of God. And she came like that. Lord, help me. She could see the purpose of this affliction to her daughter, grievously vexed with the devil. Oh, we can look around and see that, can't we? Those grievously vexed with the devil. They might be bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. They cause you much grief of heart, many errors to the throne of grace. Lord, when wilt thou come and show them their sins as you believe you've been shown yours? You can't condemn them. You can't cast them off, can you? But you pity them. And you have to reflect a little in their lives, your own lives, how it's been. No way it causes you to blush and be ashamed. But you trust you'll not be left to be ashamed now by the work of grace begun, if you're not mistaken in your heart, ashamed of Jesus. That dear friend, on whom our hopes of heaven depend, you come, Lord, help me to believe. Help me to walk in thy ways. Help me to be steadfast, to be unmovable in this day of light-hearted and frothy religion. Lord, it's, as I said earlier, not denomination, it is this, the work of grace, being born again, quickened into life with the Spirit, and seeking to honour him and to give him all the praise and the glory due unto his name. Lord, you say, reveal thyself to me. Be not silent to me, lest if thou art silent to me, I be like unto them that go down the pit. But make me wise unto salvation through faith in the dear Son of God. You see, the Lord knew how to deal with this woman. It was all appointed before the world began. This is a great mystery, isn't it? Something that perhaps your finite mind and mine find it hard to grasp, but always appointed, that no thought can fly, nor think and move, unknown to him that sits above. And David had to come there and say, but my times are in thy hand. You see, he's a sovereign God, and all that we might truly feel more of that exercise in our soul to worship him as we come to his court. And that he might in his sovereign mercy come and show us a token of his love. And he had love for this woman though she came, and he was proving all things. And there will be with your little religion, it will be but a little that a righteous man has. But it's better than the many riches of the wicked, isn't it? A little. A little faith, a little hope, a little love toward the Lord Jesus Christ. He draws you, doesn't he, by that sweet resistless grace. You see, grace is the mercy, the favour and love of God to poor sinners. And he knows where and when he's going to call them by that grace. He knows where and when that he's going to deliver them from the pit. He knows where and when that he's going to cause them to stand before the judgment seat at last. And oh, what a mercy to be pleading the help of him. Lord, help me. Help me to continue. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. But oh, don't leave me to myself. But leave me, when my heart is overwhelmed, leave me to that rock which is higher than I, and that rock is Christ. And we shall be building upon nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We shall be pleading this sure foundation stone in our experiences, that rock which is Christ. When we think of how he came into the earth to seek out and to save lost sheep of the house of Israel, and ought to be amongst these chosen sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow him. And so you see, he puts this prayer in their soul with effectual fervency of spirit, and praying to him in a time when he may be found for his help. And oh, when he shines through the gloom and speaks to your heart, oh, and blesses you with a fear not. Fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Grace is free, friend. It's free and sovereign grace, not man's free will. It's free and sovereign grace over sin abounding. Oh, we often ponder why, if we are his and we trust that we have a little hopes that we have been taught and led by the Spirit, we have to often ponder in our heart, why was I made to hear his voice and enter while this room when thousands make a wretched choice, rather starving come, free and sovereign grace, that saves wretches such as you and me, as with this woman, the thing used was the grievous affliction to her daughter, to bring her to Christ, and even to see that her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Oh, how wonderful are the workings of God. We sometimes despair of perhaps having deliverance or having restoring mercies. But you know, when thou canst no deliverance see, yet still this man thy peace shall be. Set time to deliver this woman an answer to her prayer. Tried as it was. But Peter says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, but rejoice that you are brought into fellowship with the sufferings of Christ, inasmuch as you are partakers of the sufferings of Christ. Now the Lord then has known how to deal with each and every chosen vessel, and even those yet to be called by grace. For the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And he makes himself known to them that his, not in a wave of emotion, but by his Spirit's teaching. Oh, you break down your heart, dear friends. You'll know what it is to be melted down with tears outwardly and inwardly. A broken heart. You see, it isn't no good words of ready talkers. No dry doctrine can survive. Broken hearts and humble walkers, these are dear in Jesus' eyes. You don't wear religion on your sleeve, do you? It's your walk and your conduct. And so this woman came and she worshipped him. And oh, what a mercy. If we get to heaven, we shall praise him then as we ought. We shall worship him then without a veil between. To think that this mighty Son of God, co-equal, co-eternal with the Father, should come into this world to go to the end of the law, magnified and make it honourable, to save such as unworthy you and me from that punishment in outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, blessed mercy, if there's a hope raised up in your soul that this blessed Jesus is able to give you even a crumb that even the dogs eat from which fall from their master's table. Oh, may he cause you and me then to know and hear his voice, pouring upon you a spirit of grace and of supplication, leading you by faith to look upon him whom you appear. And then you'll say, Lord, forgive my sin, and do bless me with that grace to endure unto the end, that I might be saved at last. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Well, we'll leave it there for the time as we have the ordinance to attend to. Amen.